What's going on, everybody? Daryl Frater, the club CEO here, and we have another amazing episode of the My DJ Story podcast brought to you by the Club app, where you can stream for free and not get cut off. Today, we have DJ Said the Saint. Please introduce yourself. Let us know who you are, where you're from.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Daryl. I am DJ Said the Saint. I come from the wonderful, wonderful city of New Orleans, but I currently live here in Atlanta, Georgia. I've been DJing now for about over 15 years or right around 15 years now. So got a little skin in the game, definitely. What I love so much about DJing is the way to connect to people. I come from a family of musicians, and so I saw it firsthand when I was young and little, going to my grandparents and my parents' gigs, but it's nothing like it when you're in it and you're able to control the room and control people's emotions and bring them up, bring them back down. It's just nothing like it. So awesome. Happy to be here.
Awesome. Amazing. Yeah, we're super happy to have you on the My DJ Story podcast. So we want to hear, you know, a little bit about your journey. You know, walk us through, you know, how you got interested in DJing and, you know, talk to us about, you know, the beginning stages when you just got started, then kind of just walk us through your journey throughout and leading us to today where we are. So yeah, we'd love to hear like what sparked that interest in DJing for you.
Sure. So let's see. Let's go back to college. In college, I was known as, I went to a women's college here in Atlanta, or in Decatur, more specifically. And on campus, while I was there, I went to Agnes Scott College. I'll go ahead and put Agnes Scott out there. Shout out to Agnes Scott. But while I was on campus, I was also known as someone who made mix CDs back in the day. So I was one of those ones that was out there ripping music from like LimeWire and Napster and all of those places. But LimeWire was my real... That was my jam right there. But I was going out there making mix CDs for people for, you know, they were going on trips or they were just going on spring break or whatever it was, or just to have something to study to, whatever. So in that, one of my friends, she started a club on campus and it was for fashion and design. And they had a fashion show coming up. And everyone knew that I was the one who had the music anyway. So they were like, yo, can you come and play some music? So that was like my first unofficial DJ gig. So I played the music for it. And I got so like in love with the idea of like curating a playlist for this fashion show that I was like, you know what? I need to take this a little step further. And one of my good friends, she had a pair of turntables just randomly. She's not even a DJ right now. She sells real estate. And she's also an amazing scientist out there. Shout out to Noreen, the science queen. But she had a pair of turntables in her apartment. And, you know, it was just between the technology and curating a playlist. And I was like, you know what? Let me just go ahead and get me something. So one of my good friends from Morehouse, DJ Willby, he and I also had a formed a bond and decided let's go in half on some equipment. So we shared this baby, you know, the piece of equipment, and we went out and rented speakers. And we did a couple gigs here and there. Our very first big break was DJing at Skate Town off of Old National Highway in College Park. And so from there, we just got gigs. People come up to us like, hey, y'all spend weddings? Y'all spend, you know, kids' birthday parties? Y'all spend anything else? And we just kind of moved on from there. So it's been a wonderful ride here in Atlanta. Atlanta definitely made my DJ career. But my influences from New Orleans, of course, my mom played everything under the sun. And then also my dad is very into a lot of different things. He's a jazz musician out in New Orleans as well, too. So I just say all of those influences being here in Atlanta kind of raised my adulthood, and then also marrying that with my younger days have really kind of influenced me to be a DJ. And then from there, had so many cool ass gigs here in Atlanta, from going back home to do Essence Music Festival to doing stuff here with the Human Rights Campaign, and being on the same stage as Stacey Abrams, and so many different really awesome gigs and things like that, meeting Yvonne Monet. She's a radio DJ here. We've been doing a lot of gigs together as well. So many different things. I'm just saying that I'm very privileged, very blessed in my position, in my role, the gigs that I've had been able to get and to rock out. And yeah, I wouldn't trade it for a world.
Wow, that is super amazing and super inspiring. Went from doing gigs in college based on just you the only person with the music and finding that turntable that would just happen to be laying around by your friend. And then, you know, investing half and half with your other DJ friend into first set and turntable, like, wow. And then just progressing to working with some amazing people and doing some amazing things with your DJ talent. You know, not just doing parties, but you're doing political events, you're doing civil rights events. There's so much power in what you do, and I'm super impressed by it. And thank you for using your talent in such an amazing way that's actually moving the lives of people in unique ways. So thank you for doing that. That's truly amazing.
I appreciate that.
It's super great to hear your DJ story. I would love to jump into a little bit about your branding and how you got your name, Said the Saint. Talk to me about that. You know, I feel like on this show, we have a lot of DJs with very interesting names. It's always an amazing story of how they acquired that name. So love to hear how you got yours.
That's so true. You're absolutely right. I meet some DJs, I'm like, how the heck did you connect that with that? But I totally get it. So yeah. Okay. So Said is actually short for my first name. And then the Saint part comes from, it's a three-parter. So first, as a kid, I was always known as the good one in the crew. So, you know, if you wanted to do something bad, don't come to me, because I would tell you that's not a good idea. It's not a good idea. Don't do that. Don't do that. So, you know, and I would get these awards for being like, the, you know, having perfect conduct in class and things like that. So that's where the saint comes from. It's like, if you want to do the right thing, they would call me Mother Teresa back in the day, you know, like go to Set, you know. So that's the one part. And then the saint part is also my upbringing, you know. New Orleans, we're a very big Catholic city. So, you know, people tend to also connect the saint with, oh, she's from New Orleans, you know, she's a big Saints fan. I mean, yeah, I guess you could say that, but mostly it's because of my upbringing. And I guess so that's not a three-part, it's just a two-parter, but there it is. I don't know, the third part is because there's 1,000 Seds out there. So I was like, I gotta get something extra to add to my name, because just being Said, I would be connected with too many and confused with too many people.
Awesome. I love it. The connection is there. It makes perfect sense to me. I think that it's amazing branding and you're doing it well. This is super amazing to hear your story. And I want to jump into, you know, a little bit about some of the things that you're doing now to kind of set yourself apart from other DJs. You know, all DJs have these things that just make them very unique. What is like your superpower or something that just makes you, you know, Said the Saint?
Ooh, what is my superpower? I guess that's a great question. I guess what makes me different is I dub myself as one of the open format DJs. So I don't particularly stick with one genre. And then within that, I know I'm heavily influenced. I'm not even going to lie. I know I'm heavily influenced by soul music. Anything that's got a little oomph to it, I'm going to play it. So it can be, if it's got, you know, if it's EDM that got a little off to it, I'm already on that track, you know? And so I like to mix music that has a real soulful sound, but it could still be coming from, you know, an EDM track or a house track, or it could come from Afro beats, or it can come from country music. It can come from Zydeco. It can come from anywhere. And so I think when you hear my mix, you'll notice a little flavor there that's a little bit different, a little more unique. And, you know, I like surprise remixing, surprise mashups that people wouldn't necessarily do. And also, a lot of DJs don't do this, but I think it's becoming more important for DJs to bring this into their mixing, is melodic mixing. Mixing music that actually sounds good together. So like listening for the keys, the music keys, the scales, you know, and mixing it together so that it sounds good. It's not just okay enough just to put an instrumental in another track together, but you really want to make sure that it sounds good together. Like, and that's key, because people can tell a train wreck and not know that it's not mixing in key regardless. So I think that's what you're going to hear when you hear a Said mix, or if you hear me spin live.
Awesome. I love it. And yeah, let's talk about, you know, some of the things that you're currently working on and some of the things that we can see out of you. And we would love to learn, like, what are your key focuses and some of the things you're going to be working on?
So some of the things that I told myself when we began this lockdown last year is that, hey, you know, like now, you know, that the gigs are kind of slow, start looking into producing music, looking into making more remixes on your own, and kind of playing with that. I've always been fascinated by, you know, producers and what they do. I actually thought that that was what I wanted to do when I was in college before the DJing thing started. So I know that's a natural progression for a lot of DJs, but that's definitely one thing I would love to do if I ever have time or make the time to do it. But the other thing that I'm doing now is creating a community of DJs. What I'm really focused on now is building my company. It's a community of DJs that share equipment. And so it's called StageWing, and you can check it out. It's stagewing.com. And yeah, definitely. That's my main focus right now. If anyone wants to know more about it, definitely reach out to me at said@stagewing.com.
No, let's talk about it right now. Show us, you know, tell us a little bit more about this. This is super interesting. I would love to, for the audience to be aware about what you're building.
Sure, sure. So yeah, it's a community for DJs. So essentially what we do is we connect DJs to other DJs in different states or locally in their own state if they ever needed to rent equipment. So, you know, as a part of DJing, we have so many different pieces. Unless you're just, you know, a DJ that shows up all the time with just your laptop and DJs from your laptop. But if you DJ with a turntable, a microphone, a mixer, and you're bringing your own stuff to your gigs, we use like technology, and sometimes technology doesn't work. It fails on us. You know, it's just part of the game. And so having a backup, having someone to have your back is the most important thing in DJing. Even if you forget something, I mean, it just happens, you know. So it happened to me, actually. What happened is that I had a gig in Chicago. I didn't know any DJs in Chicago. And my equipment was traveled with me in the plane, got to the hotel room, and I noticed that TSA messed up a piece of my equipment. Yeah. So I was panicking because I had a wedding the very next day to DJ. And so I was like, dang, you know, there's no Amazon Prime that could get it to me fast. Best Buy doesn't sell it. Radio Shack didn't sell it, you know? So I finally found a quick mom and pop shop that had it. But I mean, all of that anxiety could have been alleviated if I had a community of DJs like there that I could just like, okay, cool. But you know, like here is DJ such and such, you know, and she has whatever I need. So definitely that was built out of that anxiety and out of that frustration, you know, that occurred. And so I just want to make sure that every DJ has access to another DJ who may have the equipment that they're looking for in the future. So been building that since 2018, and we're moving forward. But yeah, definitely excited to see what's on the horizon for StageWing as well.
I absolutely love it. You know, as someone that is also building a community of DJs, I would love the DJs in my network to know about what you're doing, because I can tell you that there's a lot of DJs that suffer from that same problem. And I'm sure that they would see a lot of value in being able to tap into that network in that manner. And also imagine, like, instead of bringing your setup everywhere you go, if you are comfortable with some of the DJs you met in the network and they are allowing you, like, hey, I'm traveling to Atlanta, and you know a DJ from that network that has a setup that you trust and you think is reliable, you don't have to bring your setup because you already are in the network. So that's another use case right there. And I think you're innovating, and this is amazing. So I want to definitely help and support you on that and get more DJs to check out this community and be a part of it.
Thank you so much. Yeah, Daryl, I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, in terms of, you know, like sometimes you just want to be the talent, period. You don't want to have to, you know, you're already worried about and trying to make sure you create the most perfect experience for your client as possible. And having to worry about, like, did I pack everything correctly? Now I got to worry about, you know, connect troubleshooting if something doesn't sound right on the site. So that takes all of that pressure off of you. Even if you just like, you know, I just want to show up and be the talent, you know, I just want to rock out and let somebody else handle the gear. And so that's exactly, you know, another part, what you were saying earlier, it's just like, just creating some opportunities for DJs who already have this stuff, just sit in the back of their house or in their garage or in a storage unit, you know, to come out and also make money as well too. Like, it's just a win-win situation.
That's truly amazing. And I'm super excited to see how this community grows and how much it's going to help DJs all over the country, maybe in the world if you expand that far. Super excited.
Yeah.
So, you know, what's some pieces of advice that you can give DJs that maybe, you know, thinking about getting into the DJ business or, you know, are in the DJ business but want to take their business to the next level? You know, what's some advice that you know now, you know, being experienced and being in it for a minute, that you wish you knew back then?
Something that I wish I knew back then. So I think I wish I knew how to price better. You know, many times when you're starting out as a DJ, you're like, I'm so hungry, I want all these gigs that I'll do stuff for free, or I'll do something for this real low, you know? So I think pricing is very important, to have someone to guide you and mentor you around, like, okay, you can start up as a brand new DJ, you know, you're not gonna be, you know, 100% on everything at right out the gate, you know? Here's what, you know, you should probably charge. And then as you start getting gigs and as you start making a name for yourself and building a portfolio, you know, now you can, it's time for you to raise your rates. And so I think that would have been helpful if I'd known that.
That's wonderful advice. And, you know, how did you learn? Was it more trial and error? Did you have someone mentor or teach you? You know, what was your progression in learning that valuable lesson?
yeah, I think as I got more gigs and as I met more DJs, and I was privy to, like, yeah, I just made, you know, $2,000 on that gig by myself. Like, what? You know, like, and it could be even the same gig, you know, like I'm DJing right before the other DJ and they're like, yeah, I just, you know, I got $2,000 for that gig. What you get? And I'm like, oh, damn. Like, I got like a fourth of that, you know, like, so it's even that kind of stuff. Just talking. I think that's the biggest thing is trial by error, but talking. If you don't know, like, just ask. People may be weird about it. They may not tell you, but some people will. You'd be surprised. So I think just asking questions, comparing notes, you know, and sometimes, of course, if it's a headliner DJ, if it's someone who's on the radio, if it's someone who has like way more experience than you do or brings something completely different, you know, you may be able to see it, but just asking, I think, is the biggest thing, because I learned by trial and realizing, oh, I was cut out of something. And so, yeah.
Yeah. When it comes to pricing, I would say negotiation is key, and understanding, yes, you know, your worth, your value, and what you're bringing to the table and the other alternatives in regards to, you know, whoever's paying you, you know, what are their other options? And you got to be able to negotiate the price that you think is fair, that you can demand. And, you know, it's a skill that takes time to build, to understand your rates and how you can get, you know, more, you know, money from your gigs or just the fair rate that you deserve. So this is a super good piece of advice, DJs. I hope you're taking notes, because for those that, you know, have taken the DJ not just from a hobby but into a business where they're making money from it, these are key things that are going to keep you around for a very long time. So thank you for dropping that gem. Is there any last piece of advice or anything else you want to add before we jump into the lightning round?
No, but just to piggyback on what you were just saying, yeah, there's so many different things that DJs should know that factor into your price. So, like, think about all the things that you bring to the table, including equipment, because if you paid $1,000 for your equipment, that cost needs to go in there. If you're paying for DJ insurance, that cost needs to go in your rate. If you're paying for, you know, whatever, light, green screen, whatever you got going on, if you're doing virtuals, that needs to go in your rate. So just consider everything that you're doing and what you're bringing. And that's it.
Awesome. This is amazing. Let's jump right into the lightning round. You ready?
Yeah.
Besides yourself, who's your favorite DJ?
Oh, dang it. I'm going to get in trouble with this one. So I'm going to choose somebody who's not here. DJ Rajmu.
Describe your DJ setup. hardware and software?
Hardware is, I do a Pioneer DDJ SX 2 and 3. And then software, I use Serato, Team Serato.
What has been your favorite party or event you've DJed at and why?
Oh, that's a hard one, Dad. favorite party. I think right now I'm doing virtual. So I do a lot of stuff with Becky Davis. And so that's been fun. And yeah, that's been fun.
Who's the most interesting person you've met through DJing?
Dang it. These are hard. I know it's lightning round, so I got to go fast. Interesting person. I'll say Yvonne Monet.
What's one thing that you hate about live streaming as a DJ?
Oh, latency and getting taken down.
And shout out to DJs you know personally whose story needs to be shared on this podcast.
Oh, yeah. Shout out DJ Sunday Row, K-Squared, Machete X, Baltech, La Bonita, Laris, Gotta Strut, Will Be. Oh, man, there's so many people I'm missing. About Lily Smalls, Q3, 2Dub. Man, there's so many people, yeah. But those are my crew. Lachey, D. Lachey. Yeah, so many dope DJs here in Atlanta and outside of Atlanta too. So those are my people.
Awesome. Yeah, looking forward to hearing your stories. And where can people find you online or even in person if you're still doing events?
You can find me on Instagram at SaidTheSaint. I usually post about my gigs there for the most part. I apologize to my Facebook community. I have been neglecting you all, but check me out on SaidTheSaint on Instagram. That's where I post what's popping in the future.
Awesome. Everyone, this has been an amazing interview on the My DJ Story podcast with SaidTheSaint. She is an amazing DJ that is killing the game right now. So make sure you guys check her out. Follow her on Instagram. And thank you for your time. This was really great.
Thank you so much, Dara. I appreciate it. Thank you to the club app.
Are you a DJ? Well, we want to hire you as one of our official The Club virtual DJs. We've been working hard to source hundreds of paid virtual gigs, and we need DJs of all kinds that are interested in getting paid to curate virtual events for our clients. Whether you're a new DJ just getting started or a veteran in the game, we have paid gig opportunities for you. Text I'm in to 609-201-1027 to get notified for paid gig opportunities from The Club. Tell a friend. We look forward to working with you. Now back to the podcast.